Hey, John.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
My day.
Can you hear me? Hold on. Oh, whoops. Okay, hold on.
You hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Okay. All right. I don't know what that was about, but technical difficulties. All right. Before we get started, everyone, welcome to another episode of Code Life. We are here with Ade from Twitter, and she will get social media information out in a minute. Before she gets started and we get started, we'd like to remind everyone to follow me on Twitter at MasterShade08. If you are not following my newsletter, head over to JeroneParker.com, sign up for that newsletter, get weekly tips and tricks, and keep up with everything that is the Jerome Parker brand. So, Ms. Ade, before we delve into how you got started in the tech and where you are now, give us a little introduction about who you are, where you're from, and then we'll just segue into how you got started in the tech.
For sure, yeah. So, my name is Ade. I am a full stack engineer. I am co-founder of a platform known as Living Corporate. We essentially do everything from, you know, mentorship to podcasts to blog and all of these things. So I'm out here in these Twitter streets and these podcast streets. Yeah, I live in the DMV. Avid lover of dogs and caffeine. So, you know, if y'all are out here, you got a puppy, let's play date and, you know, we'll hang out. Yeah, that's pretty much it about me. I'm wild on Twitter, so I'm usually hesitant to put my Twitter info in professional spaces.
All right, cool. Say less. We'll keep it moving.
And you've seen my tweets, so
we will keep it moving, ma'am. Okay, so how did you get into tech?
Honestly, I got my heart broken, and I was just kind of like, "Fuck bitches, get money." Ooh, can I cuss on here?
Yeah. Okay.
Whoops. Okay, it wasn't really a heartbreak. I may be giving her too much credit, but a relationship ended on not the best terms. And I felt inadequate is not really the right word, but I definitely just felt really down in the dumps. And it was right before my 23rd birthday. So for my 23rd birthday, I wrote a bunch of promises to myself, essentially trying to make sure that I never feel that low again. I was in a very severe depressive slump for months. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna learn how to code. Which was dumb. I don't ever recommend that anybody pivots into programming that way ever again. Because it's a really, really good way to get yourself stuck, unstuck, stuck again, and not really know how to unstick yourself. But you know, what worked for me worked for me. So going throughout the process of figuring out who I was how I really got into coding and how I got into programming, because it was very much an exploratory journey trying to decide, you know, am I capable of doing this thing? Having defined myself as, you know, a social science person the entirety of my academic career, I originally was going to go to law school, and then I decided to pivot and wanted to get my PhD in sociology and just be somebody's, you know, old hippie ass professor. And when neither of those things worked out, I was just kind of like, yo, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. And coming from an African background, there isn't much room for failure, for not having the capacity to really perform at your highest level. And so it really shook me when I realized that, oh, hey, I don't know what to do. And beyond I don't know what to do, nobody's going to help me figure it out but me. So, yeah, after, you know, all of these revelations, I was fortunate enough to find spaces where people really just helped me help myself. Whether it was getting the Girl with Google scholarship, finding the Women Who Code space, the Black Code Collective space, all of these spaces in which people offered their time and their space and their resources to help me get where I need to go. And, you know, getting from that point to this one was really all by the grace of, oh my God, I can't stop. I have to keep going. So yeah, I'm going to stop chalking up getting into programming to heartbreak. I'm going to start chalking it up to like persistence. I like that story better than some bitch broke my heart and now I'm here.
That's dope. I love that. I love that shit. It's like a movie. So during the time, so you know, you spoke of you know, the stuck on stuck loop. Mm-hmm. For you personally, what was it that programming provided intrinsically in you that made you want to persevere through the getting through that loop? Because everyone goes through that loop at one point mm-hmm. or another. And everyone has a different thing that makes them, you know, go forward. And the ones that don't go forward are the ones that don't become software.
Yeah. So honestly, I've always been the sort of person where everything kind of came easy to, academically speaking. I remember being really young and always placing at the top of my class and never really having to study. And so for a very, very long time over the course of my academic career, I would just coast. And if I didn't, you know, place at the top of the class because one day I like slept through a test or whatever, it was kosher because the next exam sequence or whatever, I'd ace it and be done with it. Programming is the first thing that I really tried and failed at. And after I failed, I got back up and tried again. And so it, that feeling of once you get something to really work. Like I remember there was one day, like I think I console.log something and it popped up. And I remember like getting up and like dancing around my room. And all I had done was literally just printed console.log to like it was nothing. It literally was nothing. But I was so excited because it was something that I had failed at. I had put the period in the wrong place at one point and it wasn't working and I was feeling just incredibly stupid, but it was trying, failing, trying again, succeeding, that just got really addictive. I wrote a mantra for myself once I got into really, really into programming where one part of my mantra is literally like says, I like the win. I like the feeling in my lungs when I conquer. Like it's addictive as hell. And you know, having never, I think it's the same feeling that like athletes get when they win at a game or I don't know, I've never been an athlete. I've always been a geek. So I never felt that emotion, but it's just that feeling of knowing that like you stood face to face with something and you conquered. And may not be that deep to everybody else, but it is to me. So whatever, let me have it. But it's that feeling that keeps me coming back because there are days when I'm still like, holy crap, I'm so stupid. I've been trying to put this, virtual machine together all day today, actually. And for whatever reason, it's just been kicking sand in my eyes. But I also know that there will come a point where somebody's going to give up and submit and it's not going to be me. And in looking forward to that end result, there's still like an added level of, yeah, I can do this type of thing. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's why I'm a developer, because I'm stubborn.
Okay. Awesome. So what technologies do you work with?
So it's a really varied stack. So it's really MERN stack. But we're currently in a cloud phase, so there's a lot of like .NET architecture going on. I'm supposed to be working with C Sharp, but I told them from jump that was not my ministry. So by them, I mean my employers, and they've humored me so far by not making me do any .NET work. But I work with pretty much JavaScript everywhere, Mern stack in particular.
Okay. So, you said you're full stack, and where do you want your career to go? Where do you what, by the time when you are done and you retire, what do you want to have done?
Made a couple million. No, I mean, yeah, that, but I definitely want to have explored far more technologies than I feel like I currently am. I definitely want to be I definitely want to do a lot of cloud work. I want to do some crypto work. I actually started learning Solidity last year. I wrote a very, very teeny wine token. I think it was last year. Was it 2019 or 2018? One of these years. I'm very, very easily fascinated by new technology. I think the level of concentration required to really delve deep and gain mastery over a new field of study, I think I don't currently have, but I definitely want to get into some cloud, get some cloud work under my belt, and working on getting some certifications. And then I'm going to pivot to either crypto, or I'm going to do like a very, very sharp pivot directly out of tech, depending on where life takes me. But hopefully I get to be somebody's cloud developer advocate, because I think that's so cool. Getting to just travel and talk about tech, dope as hell to me. And yeah, I think those are, oh, and I also am really interested. My best friend has gotten me into, because he's also a self-taught engineer and kind of the person I modeled my career after. He's super into VR, and he's also super into robots. And so that's kind of something that I'm starting to dabble in as well. So those are some of my interests, where the tendrils of my mind are currently waving, seeing what's going to happen in those few.
The tendrils of the mind. I love
Yeah.
that. All right. Cool. So you spoke a little bit about, outside of tech, and that, I don't think most people who are in tech who retire, I don't think they usually end up somewhere in some business capacity or somewhere outside of tech or a hybrid of tech and something else. So what I know you said cloud developer advocate and whatnot, but like, what are like your interests? Like, if you could get paid to do anything that you wanted, outside of tech, what would you do?
Honestly, I would probably have a food truck off of somebody's beach somewhere, be half naked and drinking rum on the beach, and making dope meals. I think at my core, I'm absolutely a beach bum, but that don't pay the bills just yet. So we'll see about that in approximately 10 to 15 years when I still have a beach body worth looking at. But yeah, I'm really excited about the prospect of, once this phase of my life, because I don't imagine I'll be in tech forever, simply because, no shade, but a lot of people in tech are just not worth sticking around for. I do love the community. I love,
Yeah, let's talk.
one thing that I've actually found myself doing recently is helping people plan their career paths and create career trajectory into tech. So that might be another thing that I could do, just helping people plan their career pivot so that they don't spin their wheels in the same way that I did. However, I'm also not super interested in getting so buried in tech culture that I like lose sight of all the other things that I think are cool and interesting about the world.
All right. I love that answer. Okay, cool. Cool, cool. All right. So what advice? I know you said that you wouldn't advise going into tech because of a breakup. So what advice would you give to people who are wanting to get into tech, self-taught?
Honestly, so three things. One, make sure that your reason is ironclad, because especially if you don't have a natural inclination towards tech, if it's something that you're doing because you need to make more money, and shit, I get it. Like, it doesn't have to be a noble motive every single time you want to pivot into a new career field. It's as simple as what I'm currently doing does not pay my bills and I need something that does. Cool. Make sure that you understand that and it's ironclad, because there will be days when you'll be up at like 3 a.m. and your computer is crashing or the freaking VM isn't working. Thank you, Azure. Whatever your roadblock is, your reason has to be greater than that. Two, I would say that you should find community and find it quickly. This is a really, really difficult thing to do by yourself. It's especially a difficult thing to do when you're isolated. If you're isolated and you are not plugged into certain channels, like, there are things that I got only off of the, purely off of the strength of being able to show up in certain places. And that's even more difficult in these like social distancing days. But there are resources that you just don't have to pay for that you can get on for free, and people who will give you their time for free as long as you're within their networks. So like I mentioned before, Blackwood Collective, Women Who Code, those are two communities that I can personally vouch for that helps me get where I am. And then keep your eyes out. The third thing is to keep your eyes out for as many free resources as possible. You might have to put some bread down, like when you need to buy like a Udemy course, or you need to pay to host your portfolio online. But in as much as it's possible, I'm an advocate for get as many free things as you possibly can, because I don't know about anybody else when they were getting into this, but I didn't have a whole ton of money to just invest in tutors or in boot camps or anything of the sort. All of the things you can get from those boot camps, you can get for free or close to it. So it really is a matter of being intentional about your journey and also making sure that you are as diligent as possible.
Okay. I like that. Love it. What adversities have you faced in your software?
I mean, first and foremost, I would say imposter syndrome. I would say that imposter syndrome is responsible for 80% of my angst about my journey. Like I said, today I've been struggling with this one, like just getting this VM spun up and nothing's been working. And I've been thinking this entire time, wow, I'm so freaking stupid. But then I send it to my lead developer. My lead developer is like, yeah, I don't know what's going on either. And that's not the first time that's happened. And it's not the only time I've had people like affirm like, hey, first of all, you're a junior engineer. You're not supposed to know everything about everything. And secondly, like, that's what we're here for. And thirdly, you wouldn't believe the amount of time I spend Googling either. So I definitely say imposter syndrome is responsible. But I also would say that, like, because I'm self-taught, there are a lot of things in the curriculum that I wrote up for myself that I either had to skip over or I didn't even realize were a thing. And so there are just a lot of gaps in my knowledge that I don't realize are there until it's too late to do anything about it, or nearly too late to do anything about it. And to that, I say the journey doesn't stop once you get that job. Like, you have to keep learning. This is a field that rewards people who are constantly learning, constantly growing, and constantly building things, and allowing yourself to break things just to rebuild them again. So if anything, I would say that whatever it is you feel is, you know, an impediment right now, great, attack it. Don't go around it. Don't ignore it. Don't pretend it doesn't exist. Go right through it.
Okay. Cool. Cool. All right. Wow. Yep. This has been a very insightful podcast. You are, I like your story. I like your story. Where, so, are you working on any side projects or anything?
Yeah, I'm
like
actually
that?
Working on building something with my best friend, or a couple of things with my best friend. We haven't fully like come up with an MVP yet, so I'm hesitant to talk about it. Also with Living Corporate, there are quite a few things in the works that we're building. I would say if you want to keep up with anything that I'm doing, definitely follow Living Corporate on Instagram. We're on Instagram and Twitter and pretty much everywhere you listen to like podcasts. We have a website, and what we try to do is provide mentorship advice to folks who are underrepresented in corporate America, period. So if you are a first generation like consultant, and you have no idea what, you know, your salary negotiations are supposed to sound like, or you're an entrepreneur, but you're going at it by yourself for the very first time, it's a really cool space. I'm really, really big into diversity and inclusion, and that permeates all the way throughout Living Corporate, the work that we do, the people that we speak to, and the mission that we, I think, uphold is that, you know, nobody goes at this alone. And we're all made better by the presence of each other. And so I think it would be really irresponsible of me if I didn't say that it's, especially in a time like this, it's a really, really good time to reassess where you are professionally and where you'd like to go. And I think Living Corporate can help with that. I also think just being in those spaces where people are having conversations that you may not even have known were happening, like, you know, salary transparency conversations, what your career trajectory is supposed to look like, what it looks like to be Black or brown or disabled or whatever in all of these different spaces, whether you're a leader, whether you're a junior, wherever you may be in your career trajectory. Super, super important that we're being honest and open about those conversations. And so if that's something that you're interested in, definitely join us at LC. We got some content for you.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Is there any last thing you would like to say or talk about? We have about 6.5 minutes left.
Shoot the
shit. And the floor is
yours. No, I'm actually really, really excited about what happens next. I've been looking into, and by next, I mean, into like community organizing with regards to like providing for people. So that's certainly something that I think would be dope. And bringing together all the different resources that we have to, you know, collect resources, collect funds, make sure our neighbors and community are taken care of. So that's something that, a project that's been rattling around in my head, like, how are we providing for the most vulnerable amongst us? I've heard children running around in my apartment complex all day, and I'm realizing that, like, yeah, these parents are probably worn out. So yeah, I think the things that motivate me the most are the things that pertain to community, caring for each other, and just winning. I like to win. So if I can bring those three things together, really, in trying to figure out a way to help, while the world seems to like burn all around our ears, I think. That'd be a dope thing. What about you, Darren? Like, what are you up to? What's going on in your head?
What am I up to? Oh man, a lot of things. So, I'm currently looking at all this stuff going around us and trying to see where technology can help people, similar to you, the most vulnerable amongst us. Whether it's I'm actually working on a barter app.
You're working on.
So, for people who's like, I have toilet paper, you have some
Ah,
pretty big
nice.
shit out here, so at the corner, no money involved. Because money is, yeah. I like money,
Right.
don't get me wrong. I want to acquire money, but money in desperate times, not a good combination. So how can we get what we want without money? Let's go back to bartering and having some local, inter networking amongst the people in this time of need. People are scared. So I'm trying to see how I can help provide some solutions while all my clients are shut down because I've been out of work. Everybody's grind to a halt. It's crazy. It's crazy. So I got all this idle time. And I'm just trying to figure out how I can help people in this idle time.
Yeah.
Now, in the grand scheme, once the world is back moving again, I have some more
Yeah,
capitalistic aims, but right now all that's on hold. So I'm just trying to help people. That's what I'm
yeah.
up to. Oh, and working on some apps for some friends, cleaning up some old projects, trying to get this online, coding class for kids while everybody's out of school. Like my kids, they're out of school till like May. And a bunch of people, all their kids are out of school till May, June, and they're all at home, so might as well teach them how to code. I learned how to code when I was 8. So, I'm like, let's try to get some more 8-year-old
Yeah.
coders cranked out this week. So we'll see how that
Dope.
goes.
Well, my new code.
But Ade, I appreciate you. I appreciate you coming onto this podcast. I appreciate your Twitter timeline because it gives me joy throughout the day. I just be like, what's going on Twitter? And I'm like, oh man. All right, cool.
My food.
It's like, all right, some smiles. So I will definitely be sharing this on Twitter. So whether or not you retweet, well, I'm sure you'll retweet on your
I mean,
Twitter account.
if you're already on
Yeah,
your
right.
account, I mean,
Yeah,
it's too
you'll
late.
retweet on your Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's already too late.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's done. But anyway, I enjoyed this podcast. It was one of the most enjoyable podcast sessions. Very raw, very conversational. I like your spirit. I'm gonna
Awesome.
have
I'm
you on
glad to
again
hear
later.
it. Thank you so much for having me on. It's been an absolute pleasure. I love the setup. I love having conversations like this, and hopefully we can have more conversations. And I'd actually love to have you on, LC, as well. The stars have to align because we have way too much content right now to record, but I got you.
It'll happen. It'll
Absolutely.
happen. Ashe, ashe, ashe. All right. I will talk to you later. And everyone, thank you for listening to this next episode of Code Life. And while I'm talking about it, since we're stuck in, Corona hell, I think I'm gonna do a little Code Corona daily podcast. Just tell you guys what I'm doing. Oh, I'm stuck in quarantine, going crazy. I don't know. We'll see. Talk to everyone later.
Bye.
Draw.